the Lord. Let's raise up our hands. Father, we thank you and bless your name. You're a great God, and you're raising up a great, formidable, unconquerable, excellent army of young people. And we're asking that everyone without exception, here on the inside, there outside the hall, and everywhere we're gathered together, we're asking, Lord, you impact every heart, every life. And we pray that the excellent spirit will work in a dynamic way in every life. Thank you, Lord, for an answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Another excellent amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Today we're looking at rising and soaring daily with an excellent spirit. Open your Bible. We're looking for the excellent spirit in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. He that has knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Here you have an excellent spirit, and that excellent spirit comes with knowledge and understanding. What's the implication of that? If I'm ignorant, I cannot manifest an excellent spirit. But if I learn, if I listen, and if I yearn after knowledge, and that knowledge comes into me, and I live by that knowledge, that is what shows that I have an excellent spirit. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a lady of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Daniel chapter 5, we're looking at verse 12. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Once again, you have an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding, an interpretation of things that others could not interpret, and showing, resolving hard sentences, and resolving doubts. An excellent spirit that have knowledge, have the basic facts. And I know how to put the basic facts together, and I need know how to apply those basic facts. I have the understanding of the knowledge. Knowledge is one thing, and anybody can cram, anybody can memorize knowledge. But when you have understanding of that knowledge, are you able to put all the knowledge together, and you dissolve doubts, you solve problems that other people cannot solve? You have an excellent spirit. Chapter 6 of Daniel, I'm looking at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents And the princes, because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king thought to set him over above the whole realm. When you have an excellent spirit, you're soon recognized. And that recognition brings promotion. That's why we're here on biblical ground to talk of an excellent spirit. And I pray that what we have read, the excellent spirit, will come to everyone, young and old, students and scholars, everyone, an excellent spirit, let it come unto me. Pray it out. Let it come unto me. Rising and soaring daily with an excellent spirit. Already read to you in Proverbs, in Daniel, and now in Daniel as well. And we're going to look at this one man that rose from an unknown place and got up and he soared with an excellent spirit. And I'm going to have Daniel chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12. Because that's how God has preserved for us the rising up of an excellent spirit and the soaring and the increase in the life of a man with an excellent spirit. 3 points. Number one, the sure steps towards an excelling success. The steps will take 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're climbing, and it doesn't matter how high that place may be, one step at a time, you will get there. I will get there. The sure steps towards an excellent success. Number two, are the subsequent stages. There are stages. And you look at the subsequent stages for an excellent servant. Excellent servant. Everywhere this man served, he was an excellent servant. And we see the stages of his life. I want to interpret that and apply that to our lives. The subsequent stages for an excellent servant. Number three, the steady soaring, not going up and coming down, not going forward and coming back, not taking 3 steps forward and 4 steps backward. Steady, steadfast, the steady soaring towards an extensive stardom. You became a star. You are in the process of becoming a star. Come back to number one, the sure steps towards an excellent success. We're looking at 3-4 things here. Number one, we have purposeful separation from corruption. Number two, prevailing supplication with confidence. Number three, we have personal steadfastness with conviction. Number four, practical soul searching of the conscience. Those are the stairs. And once we go 1, 2, 3, 4, you're moving on. And you'll come to that excellent stage in your life in Jesus' name. Look at number one. Number one is the purposeful separation from corruption. Look at Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. It wasn't of Babylon. They just brought him to Babylon. As he entered, he purposed in his heart. He didn't know he'll go to a college there. They brought him to college. And he purposed in his heart. He didn't know all the subjects they'll be teaching. But the first day in class, the first day in college, and then he went on. He had this purposeful separation from corruption. And that's what the word brought the man to becoming a star. You'll become a star. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. And then we're told, therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That's where an excellent spirit begins to be formed. Just as you enter, and now you are conscious of life, you know your right from your left, you know go from calm, you know up from down, you know success from failure, and from that moment, you make up your mind that there will be a purposeful separation from corruption. There is corruption in the land as there was corruption in Babylon. There is corruption on the college campus as there was corruption in Babylon. There is corruption in the high school, in the secondary school, in the tertiary institutions as there was corruption in Babylon. At the moment you enter, and you know you want to have, and you're going to carry on with an excellent spirit, the first step you take is that you have a purposeful separation from corruption. If you had been corrupted before, that time, this time, you kneel before the Lord, you stand before the Lord, and you separate from all corruption of every shape, of every size. Corruption in any way, corruption demonstrated by any gang, by any group of people, the sure way to have a success, excellent success, is that number one, there is the purposeful separation from corruption. Look at verse 20 here. In verse 20, it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. In that same chapter 1, where there was a purposeful separation from corruption, the excellence in success, and the height of success, and the greatness coming with success began to show that in the final exam, that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the first exam they took was 10 times better than everyone that went to that same college. And so you want to have an excellent spirit, and you want to have an excellent success. Number one, purposeful separation from corruption. Look at number two. Number two, prevailing supplication with confidence. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl who knows that all I have is not enough. There is a God in heaven that raises up a man, raises up a woman. There is a God in heaven that helps a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a gentleman, a lady, that where he could not reach himself. As that God in heaven that helps you to reach that place. And so you have number two, prevailing supplication with confidence. What had happened in Babylon is that the king had a dream. And that dream had forgotten. The people that have dreams and they forget. They have goals and they forget. They have aspiration, they forget. And they have the desire. Here is where I will be. They forget. They have resolution at the end of the previous year. And when the new year comes, they forget the previous year's resolution. And the king forgot his dream. Have you forgotten your dream? Many people do. Before they get to college, they had in mind, I'm going to go there and I'm going to be a star. And then they get in there, they have forgotten. I'm going to study, I'm going to prepare for everything I have to do. And I must come out a star first. They get in there, they forgot, they forget. But as Nebuchadnezzar forgot, he still wanted that dream, that vision, that revelation. And he got all the magicians and all the sorcerers of the land. And they couldn't reveal what had been forgotten. They said, what the gods they serve, what the idols they worshipped. Once they forgotten, their idols, their gods could not help. And Nebuchadnezzar was so unhappy because he knew there is something in that dream. I must get that dream back. And so he said, kill everyone. All these people that pretend to be wise men and wise women, and they are there, and they don't have the wisdom I expected, kill them. And Daniel heard about it. And Daniel now rose with confidence. And he told the servant of the king, and he said, tell the king, don't do anything like that. I, Daniel, with my team, we're going to reveal the king's forgotten dream. And as I come to you today, I'm going to dig up again your forgotten dream, your forgotten vision, and the aspiration you had, the ambition that the Lord put in your heart, you have forgotten. But it will come to remembrance today, in Jesus' name. And so what was Daniel to do? Here is what raises up a star, a rising star, a soaring star, that what everybody could not do and they could not discover, that Daniel had this prevailing supplication with confidence. Look at Daniel chapter 2. I'm reading here from verse 19. Daniel 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Well, maybe you are not seeking for a dream, but you know, one of our leaders said, there are stories to tell. I will tell you stories. I was running a program in maths, mathematics. This after my first class, I was now lecturing, but I needed to run a program. And the professor leading me and helping me in that research, he'll give me the question to solve. And you will not find the answer in any book. That's why it's called research. And he'll say, now, he'll give me this on Friday. And then he'll say, I'll see you next Friday. He gave me 1 week. And then I'll go back, and the Lord will reveal to me, because I prayed. And then what he gave me on Friday, Saturday, the following day, I'm through. And then I go to him on Monday. And he will say, are you having difficulty, challenge? You want some explanation? I said, no, I've got the result. Say, what? And he will look at it, perfect. He'll give me another one that he thought, this one, he won't come back so soon. He'll give me 2 weeks. And I go back. And by the way, I didn't have access to any library at that time, because I traveled to Alexandria, Egypt. He was there, and I was just in a simple room that had no library. Then he'll give me that assignment, come back in 2 weeks. Then I go back, and with prevailing supplication, with confidence in the Lord, that if I ask him anything according to his will, he heareth me. And then again, that weekend, the solution will come. On Monday, I go to him. I say, I'm back here. But I gave you 2 weeks, I said, but I finished it in 2 days. And then he looked at it and he will say, perfect. I'm saying that in your life, that excellence of spirit will come to you in Jesus' name. And so, in verse 20, that's chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he will give you of his wisdom, of his power, of his might, of his understanding, in Jesus' name. Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians and the soothsayers show unto the king? Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. That God will be your father. That God will be your companion. That God will never leave you, will never forsake you. And anything you don't know, you want to know. Anything that is concealed, covered, you want to be revealed, that God will be with you. The God of knowledge, and the God of truth, his knowledge will not be missing in your life. His truth will not be missing in your life, in Jesus' name. Because of the connection of this Daniel with the God of all revelation, that's how he became a rising star, a soaring star. And he says, there is a God in heaven that reveals, not just revealed in the present tense, reveals secrets and make it known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days thy dream and thy visions, the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. I come to number three. Number three is personal steadfastness with conviction. That's what makes a man, a woman. That's what makes men, women. That's what makes them stars. That's a shine. When you have a conviction and you hold on tenaciously to that conviction, and somebody wants to get it out of you, and you say, no, I believe in this God, I've been converted to this Christ, and I'm hooked up to this God of heaven, God of truth, and God of revelation. And nobody will shake you out of that conviction in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the steadfastness with conviction that helps you to stay on course and to stay online, that you are able to reach where you ought to reach. I will reach there. Say confidently, I will reach there. Oh, have you arrived? Have you finished? Have you got to the highest you'll ever get to? You're moving on. You're rising up. You'll be there in Jesus' name. Amen. Number three is the steadfastness with conviction. Chapter 3 of Daniel. I'm reading from verse 15. Daniel. Chapter 3, verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, woodly music, flute, harp, sackbut, idolatrous music, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of Babylonian music, ye fall down and worship the God, the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He was playing God in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there are people all over the world, anywhere you are, they want to be the final arbiter, the final judge, the final director, the final controller of your life. They want you to forget your conviction. They want you to forget where you wanted to get to, your ambition, your calling, and your passion. They say, here, this is what we want of you. How about what God wants of me? Forget about that. How about what I want for myself? They say, forget about that. How about my personal conviction? They say, forget about that. Your life is in our hand. But my life is the hand of God. Don't say that here. That's what they say. They say, bench or burn. That if you don't bow to their wish, if you don't bow to their decision, if you don't allow them to be the Lord and the controller of your life, you'll burn. And that is where we have the quality of a man, of a woman that is having an excellent spirit, and he has the personal steadfastness with conviction. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful, worried, anxious to answer thee in this matter. Please remember, their Sunday scripture teacher was not with them there. Please remember, their father, their mother, not with them there. Please remember that their coordinator was not there. But what they had heard before they left Judah, the word imprinted in their hearts, what they knew at the point of conversion, and what they had promised that Lord, that will serve you and serve you forever. When they made their consecration known unto the Lord, that's what stayed with them. And when I went to the university, my Sunday school teacher did not go with me there and stay with me every time of trial, every time of temptation, every time of conflict. But what I had opened my mouth to say to the Lord at the point of conversion, and what I had promised the Lord at the point of consecration, as I went, all that went with me. And I had the steadfastness with a kind of conviction that nobody could move. And my classmates were there. They did their own part to push me off the platform of my consecration. They couldn't make it. They couldn't do that. Lecturers were there. And heads of departments were there that had direct confrontation. Do this, bench or bow, and bow so you don't burn. And he said, you will not take a certificate out of this institution if you stand like that, you don't bench, you don't bow, and you do what conviction you have. I didn't just have a certificate coming out of that institution, and I didn't just make first class in my class, in the whole university, all the departments, I scored the highest in the university. And of course, that came with first class. You know why? Because of that personal steadfastness with conviction. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And the king was angry, furious, and he told them to set up the furnace, heat it up to the 7 times hotter. And he bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he threw them in. The people who threw them in, even though they were outside the fire, the flame that came out burnt them up. And then when they were thrown into the furnace, all the things of Babylon that bound them, everything was burnt up. You didn't say amen to that one. And today, everything of Babylon of Rome, of the world, binding you. Everything is burnt up in Jesus' name. And so Nebuchadnezzar, still full of fury, anger, hatred against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he rose up, he peeped into the furnace, and he saw Shadrach standing. And we'll see you standing. Meshach standing. We'll see you standing. Abednego standing. I'll see you standing. And he asked his counselors, he said, did not we throw three men into the burning fiery furnace? They said, right, yes, O king. Then he said, I see four men. And the fourth person is like the appearance of the Son of God. That Son of God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you, because you have the personal steadfastness with conviction. At the end of that chapter, they were promoted. And at the end of this meeting today, you'll be promoted in Jesus' name. Look at number four. Number four is practical soul searching of the conscience. Now in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. This one he didn't forget. He remembered. But every remembrance of that dream brought fear, consternation in his heart, because he saw this tree, and the tree was growing up and grew up to reach the skies. And he heard a voice of a watchman from heaven. Cut it down. Let all the branches and all the leaves, everything, be wasted. But leave the trunk of that tree until seven seasons, seven times, will pass over that trunk. And he woke up and he was thinking, what could this mean? A tree so beautiful, a tree so strong, a tree that rose even to the sky, and now cut it down and let seven seasons pass over the trunk. Again, he called all the magicians and the sorcerers and the wise men of Babylon. And they were at sea. It was like Greek to them. They didn't understand. And now he remembered Daniel. And Daniel came. And the king told him the story. And here was a man, Daniel, a rising star. Once again, you'll be a rising star. But you know, a rising star will be called to a situation where you'll have to declare the truth. And the truth will pinch the conscience of the person you're talking to. But you'll not be afraid, because you have this quality of practical soul searching of the conscience. Look at chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 19. Daniel chapter 4, reading from verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, that the other name, Babylonian name for Daniel, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. It says, Belteshazzar answered and said, thy said unto him, my lord the king, the dream be to them that hate thee, and therefore and the interpretation thereof, it says, be for thine enemies. Daniel, thank you for the prayer. But what's the interpretation? What's implied in the dream and what you see? Look at verse 20. In verse 20, verse 22, in verse 22, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, like that tree that reaches to the sky, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Look at verse 25. In verse 25, that they shall drive thee from men. Can you say that? To the king, to the power that be. Can you tell the truth? The truth that is not sweet, not palatable, and the truth that nobody wants to hear. Well, that's the practical soul searching of the conscience of the king. Somebody is there and he wants to hear what you are going to say. And you know, it's a sinner, you know, he's doing evil, and you know the end will be to be cut down. And while you are there to interpret the revelation, the truth, the word, can you keep to that revelation? Like Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Like Samuel confronted Saul, thou art the man. Like Daniel confronted Nebuchadnezzar, it is thou, O king, thou art the man, that they shall drive thee, Nebuchadnezzar, from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times, 7 years, seven periods, seven seasons shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The life of Daniel tells us, instructs us, that we tell the truth as it is, and let the truth search the conscience of men, and the conscience of the people that see you, that know you, and that listen to you. That's what made Daniel the man he was. That's what makes you the man, the woman you ought to be. You don't fear their faces, don't fear their frowns, don't fear their fury, but you have the practical soul-searching message that will penetrate into their conscience. Verse 27. In verse 27, it says, Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break up thy sin. Daniel, you're talking to a king, and you're talking to the king, and you say the king is a sinner. And you say, Nebuchadnezzar, thy sins are bringing this upon you. Hear my word. Hear my counsel. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Turn from unrighteousness unto righteousness, and an iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be the lending of thy peace, of thy equilibrium, of thy tranquility. Well, you know the story. It so happened to him. Now in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, justice, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. These were the sure steps that helped Daniel rising up, moving on, and becoming a star. Follow those steps. It's very sure you're going to become a star in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number two, we're looking at subsequent stages for an excellent servant. You know, many of us thought when we're in school that once we got the certificate, we're finished. We don't have to read anymore. We don't have to learn anymore. We don't have to observe anymore. And we don't have to use what we learned. And so we add many of our classmates. They went to school with us, but they never learned their English, their grammar, their composition of sentences beyond the school search. And so you find them later in life, when they speak, when they write, the same spelling mistakes they made when they were at school, and the same wrong pronunciation they had when they were in school, and the same wrong tense they had when they were in school, they just continue with that. You know why? Because they didn't understand. There are stages. Now you finish one stage, go up higher. And there are, you know, people, they were prefects, house leaders, when they were in school. And now the same mistakes they made when they were house leaders, house masters, house mistresses, the same they still make until today, because there's no improvement. There is no higher ground, and there is no higher stage. But for the young man, for the young woman that says, I've gone through point one, now I need to come to point two, and I have the subsequent stages for an excellent servant. Look at Daniel chapter 5. I'm reading the first part of verse 12. Daniel 5:12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and the solving of doubts are found in the same Daniel. so that he became an excellent servant. Look at four things here. Chapter 5, we're looking at the incorruptibility of a firm, cleansed soul. Number 6, the integrity of a faithful civil servant. Number 7, the importunity of a forthright, committed seeker. And number 8, the irresistibility of a fortified, consistent senior. Has become a senior now in age, and yet till that senior age was still consistent. Look at number 5, the incorruptibility of a firm, cleansed soul. Chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 14. What had happened here, that the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar was now the emperor of the empire, the king of the kingdom, and he was a lousy fellow, idolatrous fellow, a worldly fellow, a blasphemous fellow. And he went to the place where he kept all the instruments of worship that they took from Judah. He went there and took all the cups, and then served his counselors, his concubines, and the people that joined with him. And they drank wine, hot wine, intoxicating wine, out of those cups. Then a hand came from heaven and wrote on the wall that he could see many, many tekel euphrosyne. You couldn't understand. You couldn't read it. Once again, in his great anxiety, agony, they brought in all the magicians, astrologers, what his father had done to no success. He brought them in, and they could not read. Then they remembered Daniel. When the situation gets tough, they remember you. When there is an impossible situation, they remember you. And when there is an unsolvable problem, they remember you. We'll call you in. You'll bring solution. They call me in, I will bring solution. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. In verse 14, I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Then he began to promise Daniel that if you interpret this dream, I'll promote you. I'll do this, I'll do that. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be to thyself, and give the rewards to another. You wouldn't corrupt Daniel with a gift, with money, with position. No, he didn't want any of those things. All he wanted was to stand for the truth. Stand by the truth. And even if he only were the person to tell the truth and say the truth and stand by the truth, he will stand alone. That's an incorruptible man. And as you go through life, you're going to find that situation. Others are going to tell lies to save their face. Others are going to doctor the truth and trim the truth and cut off the sharp edges of the truth so that they don't get into trouble. But a person like Daniel is going up and up and up, will not change the truth, will not put in some lies, will not modify the truth to make it acceptable, because they're looking for something. And so Daniel, the incorruptible man that had a real cleansed and firm soul, he said, you can keep your gift and you can keep everything you are trying to offer, but I will make known unto thee the revelation, the interpretation. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, until he learned that the God of heaven is the God we honor and the God we serve. Look here at verse 24. In verse 24, then for the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, 25, and this the writing that was written, many, many tekel euphrasis. Verse 26, this is the interpretation of the theme. Many, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You see the courage there. You see the truth there. You see the steadfastness for the truth there. It was a threatening situation. But in that threatening situation, Daniel stood. And that's what made him a rising, shining, soaring star that he became. And that is what is going to make you a rising, shining, soaring star that you ought to be. Tell the truth. No matter what you think, how do you react, tell the truth. Look at verse 27. In verse 27, tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Found wanting. Remember, I was talking to an emperor, talking to a king, talking to the highest power in the land. And in verse 28, Peres, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. We're coming to number 6 here, the integrity of a faithful civil servant. The integrity of a faithful civil servant. Chapter 6, read verse 3. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, then the presidents and the priests, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error found in him. No fault, no error. He was now a civil servant. He was working in the kingdom of this new king, Darius, that came in. And the king, this new king, wanted to promote him, and the others knew. And he said, no, not on your life, that he will shine above us, rise above us. He said, no, it will not be, but it will be. I said, it will be. And so they tried to find fault occasion against him. They checked all the records, they checked all the books. They couldn't find any fault because he was a man of integrity. A man of integrity. And that's what it takes for somebody to rise, for somebody to shine, for somebody to soar, that whatever may be the plan or the plot, you keep on steadily rising and doing what you're expected to do. And so they worked up a plan. They went to the king, and the king did not know why. They were asking for such a thing. He said, for the next 30 days, anyone that will ask anything of anyone, I'll be thrown into the lion's den. And the king signed that edict. And Daniel knew, but an edict will not stop its integrity. A plot, a plan, an injurious plan, a destructive plan will not change the integrity of a rising, shining, soaring star. He opened his door, went in into his chambers, and like he always did, he prayed to the God of heaven. And he said, did you see him? I saw him. Did you see him? Did you see him? He has contradicted the edict on earth, because he was walking by the edict of heaven. And he took him and he put him in the lion's den. And the king came early the following morning, and he shouted and he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom ye serve able to deliver you from the paws of the lion? And then he replied, long live you, O king, my God has sent his angel, and he has shut the lion's mouth, and they were not able to hurt me, inasmuch as no fault, no error was found in me before him and before thee, O king. He maintained his integrity. And that's what God is expecting. If he's going to make you a rising star, a shining star, a soaring star, he wants you, no matter the place, no matter the situation, that you keep on your integrity. The Lord who helped Daniel will help you. Amen. Give me a good youthful amen. Amen. Number seven is the importunity of a forthright committed seeker. Importunity. And there were things revealed to Daniel, and he didn't understand. He wasn't so much in a hurry. I want to go out and do this, I want to go out and do that. No, he was there, and he said, I'm going to ask, I'm going to demand, how this, how about that? And he was importunate as a seeker. And you know, in our lives, no matter at what age, at what stage, you are asking for something. You're seeking for something as a seeker. And the first effort did not yield. The second effort did not yield any result. But you are importunate. That is, you stay there. You ask and ask again. You demand and demand again. Not only at the time of prayer. I'll not let you go. Except you bless me, I'll not let up. I'll not give up. Except I discover a solution to this thing. Chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 15. Chapter 7, we're looking at that verse 15. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body. And the visions of my head troubled me. In verse 16, I came near to the one, to one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Importunity, that are solving a problem and you do not see how the problem can be solved. But you might stand up, you might walk up and down, you might refresh your memory, you might utter some prayer before the Lord, then you come back. If still you do not have the solution, you get up. You might just need to change position. You've been sitting for a long time, and motion sometimes will bring recollection. You are importunate, and you say, I will not give up. That's how we rise. Not the people that meet a challenge and meet a difficulty, and at the first appearance of that resistance, rejection, difficulty, a give up. No. Importunity. The importunity of a forthright, committed seeker. Look at number 8. The irresistibility. Resist. Resistible. Irresistible. Irresistibility of a fortified, consistent senior. Well, we understand. When Daniel was a teenager and was brought to Babylon. We understand such a youth, such a teenager could move on and on irresistible and stand his ground. Other youths shall come and play some tricks, try to jolt him, divert him. As a teenager, he was of their age and was up to their pranks. But now he had become a senior citizen. Was no more a teenager, no more in his 60s, was now in his 70s, in his 80s. And yet, for such a man to keep on rising and rising, he must remain irresistible as a fortified, consistent senior. We're looking at chapter 8, verse 15. Chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and eventually revealed unto him. Is that fortitude? Is that determination? Is that diligence? Is that going on and will not be pushed off your track? That's what makes you a rising, shining, soaring star. Point number three. In point number three, the steady soaring towards an extensive stardom. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the experience of a sanctified spiritual supplicant. Then number 10, the empowerment of a stressed, soft supporter. 11, the exaltation, the exploits of a scripture-saturated serviceman. Number 12, the exaltation of a shining, soaring star. Look at number 9, the experience of a sanctified spiritual supplicant. A supplicant is somebody who supplicates, who makes supplication, who makes petition, who drives his prayer through, and the prayer gets to the ears of the Almighty God. In chapter 9 is where Daniel discovered that the children of Israel, of Judah, have been in captivity for 70 years. And he examined the word of God in Jeremiah that 70 years appointed, they will go to captivity. They'll suffer for their sin for 70 years. And when 70 years are expired, the Lord will bring them out of captivity. Now 70 years expired, and he was still there. And so Daniel went to pray. Supplication was a sanctified man, a spiritual man. Look at chapter 9, verse 20. In chapter 9, reading from verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Verse 21, it says, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man, actually an angel, Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly. So that's why when it's not just a man, it's an angel. Angel Gabriel flies swiftly and touched me about the time of the evening oblation, evening sacrifice, evening offering. Verse 22, and informed me, and he revealed unto me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, to reveal to thee, and to instruct you, to make you know, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. In verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish transgression and make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy, the most holy place. And now he had this kind of experience. He had been sanctified. We know that through his life or through Daniel. And he was spirit-filled, spiritual. We know that in all that is revealed concerning Daniel. And now he had this experience as a supplicant. When he began to pray, it appeared there would be no answer. The skies appeared sealed up. But he continued and continued and continued until the God of heaven sent an angelic minister to minister unto him. What an experience. And these are the things that moved him on and on until he became a soaring, shining star. Look at number 10. Number 10 is the empowerment of a stressed, sapped supporter. In Daniel chapter 10, I'm reading here from verse 14. Daniel 10, verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. In verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude, the appearance of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength, stressed, sad, but now it was strengthened. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, for now, how can the servant of this my Lord talk of this my Lord? For as for me, it says, straight away there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and strengthened me. In verse 19, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. Somebody there, be strong. Yeah. Yea, yes, I say unto you, be strong. Yeah. And then it says, when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. There are times you might be tired. Wait before the Lord and let him strengthen you, because they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run, they'll not be tired, they'll not be weary, they'll walk and they'll not faint. And I pray what the Lord has appointed you for this very day, the Lord strengthen you for it in Jesus' name. 11, in chapter 11, Daniel, we'll start in 2. The exploits of scripture saturated servicemen, the people who know their God as the Creator, as the Strengthener, as the Redeemer. The people who know their God as the impartial God that says, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you. And they know the covenant of their God. And they wait on him. They rest on him. They depend on him. They'll be strong. They'll do exploits. And from today, you will do exploits in Jesus' name. I will do exploits in Jesus' name. Daniel 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with flatteries. The Antichrist is opposed to Christ. They'll use flattery and they'll draw unfaithful people into the net of not doing well people, but the people that you know their God. And they know that before the Antichrist came up, God has always been there. Before Pharaoh was born, God has always been there. Before Herod came on the throne, God has always been there. And before anyone that is wanting to destroy every good thing that has been built, before he was born, God has always been there. Before Daniel was called, God has always been there. And before the apostles faced all those challenges, before the Sanhedrin, God has always been there. And the service men, the serving men that you know their God, shall be strong. I will be strong. Say it aloud. I will be strong and do exploits. Say it out aloud. Your college, your university, your institution, the Spirit of the Lord will abide with you. The goodness of God will abide with you. The wisdom from on high will abide with you. And while those corruptors who pull down good people, who pull down great people, when they come near you, they will fail. Their pulley will not work. Their strategy will not work. While others are corrupted, you will be strong and you will do exploits in Jesus' name. The people that you know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Look at number 12. We're looking at chapter 12. In chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 3. The exaltation of a shining, soaring star. Daniel 12, we're looking at verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. I was expecting a good amen. You know, when I was at school, I blew it up in my first chance. And so, you've heard the story. I was given a second chance. And I grabbed that second chance, and the Lord honored that grabbing of the second chance, and eventually the Lord made me a mathematician. Somebody said, Pastor, you're talking about yourself? What are you talking about yourself? If I stood up and said, I'm an adult man, you won't have any problem with that. Of Christ stood up and said, I am a preacher. You don't have any problem with that. If I stood up and said, I am a believer, you don't have any problem with that. And when I said, I'm a man, an adult man, a believer, I'm talking about myself. When you hear about Paul saying, I was an injurious man, you don't have any problem with that. When you hear Paul saying, I am what I am, you don't have any problem with that. When you hear Peter saying, I was with him on the mount, and I heard the voice, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. He was talking about himself. You don't have any problem with that. And now, as I say, God give me a second chance. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And I became a first class student of mathematics. No problem. And when I became a Christian, yes, I loved the Lord and I prayed the Lord, but I couldn't stand before the crowd and talk. And if I dare stood and talked, a little fellow there, a gypsy there, a dwarf there, if he does something, I'll forget what I wanted to say. But God had given me a second chance. And now, with that second chance, I can declare everything that Lord had given me to declare. And I've declared it so that an excellent spirit will come upon your life. You'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. The Lord will lift you up. The Lord will exalt you. The exaltation of a shining, soaring star. Look at verse 3 here, chapter 12. And they that the wise, I'm just wondering, who are the wise people? The people that hear instruction and they take the instruction in. It says, and they that were wise, who are the wise? The people that hear the word of God and the instruction and the word of wisdom, and they take that in and they apply that to their lives. The people that were wise, the people that go out to do what the Lord has commanded them, go do thou likewise. The people that were wise shall shine at the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn the righteousness, many righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Yeah.
I know you heard it. I'm going to say that again so you can hear it very well. And make up your mind that this is what I am going to do. It says, they that be wise. It's, you know, it will be an unfortunate thing if a preacher goes around the country and is preaching to unwise people. He's preaching to people who are so foolish, they're not going to take heed to the calling and instruction of the Lord. But how happy that leader, that preacher, that instructor. How happy will that Daniel be that the people that listen and the people who see his life, that they turn out to be wise men. And you will turn out to be wise men and wise women in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you come into the circle of the wise, they that the wise shall shine at the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many from sin to salvation. They that turn many from righteousness to righteousness. They that turn many from ungodliness to godliness. They will shine as the stars forever and ever. You will be righteous. I said you will be righteous. You'll be godly. And the Lord will put the fire, the light, the transformation, the message in your life that you will go and turn sinners to saints, backsliders to believers. You go and turn the righteous to the righteous in Jesus' name. Amen. And you will shine. Amen. And every day of your life, all these 12 principles, you remember them, you apply them, and the Lord will make you steadily, steadfastly to go on and on until you become a shining star here on earth, and when we get to heaven, in Jesus' name. Amen. Another amen. Amen. A good, unforgettable amen. Amen. Rise up now, and we're going to pray. This is what I was born for, and this is why I came into the kingdom, that God will make everyone rising, shining, soaring star. The Lord confirm it in your life in Jesus' name.